Thanks, Sundara. Good morning, everyone. Morning, everyone watching at home as well. For our guest, my name is Anton. I'm senior minister here. And when I was a kid, I used to get a bit confused, a bit frustrated with the Bible sometimes. When I was young, I wanted to be a good Christian. Still do, I guess. So when I read the Bible, I wanted to know what I had to do to be a good Christian. I wanted to know the rules of God and so I could follow them. And so I'd read my Bible because I knew I should. And I'd get to a passage. When I get to a passage like the one that we heard today, I would kind of think, well, why on earth is this in the Bible? Why is it there? Can't I just going to skip ahead a few paragraphs till I get to the rules section? Kind of like, God, just tell me what to do, please. Now, looking back on that time, it certainly showed my misunderstanding about being a Christian. When I was young, I thought being a Christian was all about being good for God. Now, later on, by God's grace, I know that being a Christian is all about Jesus, about following him and receiving his forgiveness. And yes, being good, but that's in response to what Jesus has done for me. But also looking back, it showed me that I misunderstood the Bible. I wanted the Bible to be a rule book to follow, a how-to of how God wanted me to live. But actually, the Bible's all about Jesus and God revealing himself to us through him, showing how much he loves us in him. And so, yes, there are rules in the Bible, but they always flow out of the salvation that has been won for us in Jesus. And so did you notice in our passage today, there are no rules given. It's a passage where the Apostle Paul is explaining to the Colossian Christians about his efforts in ministry. You know, it's just a regular down-to-earth correspondence between a man and a church, with the Apostle Paul explaining what he's going through for them. So what's going on here? Why is it in the Bible? Why are we hearing this from God today? Well, whenever we read the Bible, we must believe it is God's word to us. God wants us to be hearing this today. And so maybe the question to ask is, the thing to expect is, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to us today? God's telling us this for a reason. This is in the Bible and we're reading it today for a reason. And so as the passage was read today, or maybe you've already read it as part of your Bible reading or in small group, did you ask the question, God, why are you telling me this? God, why are you telling me this? Here's what happened to me one time when I read through this particular passage. So feel free to open up again to Colossians chapter 1 verse 24. And so I read verse 24. It says, "Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you." Okay, so Paul's suffering for his ministry. That's not good for Paul. That's, you know, it's a bit interesting. But God, why are you telling me this? Or next verse, verse 25. "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." All right, so we find out that Paul was commissioned by God to present God's word to these people, or to people. But why, God, are you telling me this? Why do I need to know this now? Or the start of chapter 2, verse 1, "I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea." Okay, that's good for the Colossians and those at Laodicea. Why are you telling me this? And so as I kept reading through this passage, trying to work out, God, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? And then at some point, as I was reading through, I was like, oh, goodness me. It's pretty straightforward why God is telling me this, because God tells us why he's telling us this. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 4. Paul writes to the Colossians, at least, "I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." So firstly, for Paul, why he's telling the Colossians this is for a reason. And I think we can have a similar reason why Paul and God is telling us this today. So that God, you're telling me this about Paul and his ministry so that no one will deceive me by fine-sounding arguments. Ways of living that sound appealing, worldviews that sound coherent, but is some other line of thinking, other than thinking that Jesus is the Word of God in its fullness. So as we turn to God's Word, let me pray that this won't happen to us because we're hearing God's Word. Let me pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us through your Word. You have something to tell us today, so may you speak clearly to us through the Bible so that no one may deceive us by fine-sounding arguments. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, firstly, the first thing we see from our passage today is Paul is rejoicing so that you won't be deceived. He's rejoicing. We're told, first of all, that Paul is suffering, but rejoicing in suffering so that we aren't deceived. Have a look at verse 24 again. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God, by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness. So Paul's been commissioned by God to present the word of God to the church, but he is suffering for it. He's filling up in his flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. And this passage is probably the hardest passage in our text today. So let's think a little bit about it. Now remember, Christ's afflictions, they're mainly him, experienced by him on the cross, wasn't it? Christ suffered on the cross to reconcile us to God. We heard that in last week, didn't we? But now he, God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. That's the main afflictions of Christ that we think about, isn't it? So Paul here is not saying that there's something lacking in Christ's suffering with regard to salvation. Christ has done all that we need to be saved, to be reconciled to God. But curiously, there's more suffering of Christ to be had. What's it talking about here? Well, we saw in our first Bible reading, one that Derek read in Acts 9. Do you remember what the risen Jesus said to Saul? Saul, who was persecuting Christians. Here's what happened. He, Saul, fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he said. So remember, this happened after Jesus had died and risen. Saul was persecuting Christians. But in persecuting Christians, he was persecuting Jesus. See there, Jesus saying, "Why do you persecute me as you persecute the church?" Well, now, Saul had become an apostle, and he is now filling up in his flesh what's lacking with regard to Christ's afflictions. That is, Jesus being afflicted as Paul the apostle is being afflicted. So continuing Christ's mission of rescuing people out of the dominion of darkness, bringing them into his kingdom for the servant, for the messenger, may well lead to affliction, persecution and suffering. Because when we oppose the prevailing worldview of the gospel, we may suffer at the hands of the world. So that's what's still lacking in Christ's afflictions. The suffering of God's servants as they share the gospel for the sake of God's people. But a bit weirdly, I guess, Paul rejoices in this. Why would he rejoice in the suffering that he's going through? You know, we can be ashamed if we're suffering. When we're sick, we can be ashamed that we're a burden on others. When we fail, we can feel ashamed because we may seem weak. But Paul rejoices in this suffering because he knows that what will happen. This shows that his ministry is gospel ministry. And so when you see it, and even when he is suffering, then you don't need to be deceived by other things that look a bit more glorious. Because you may think that, you know, with Paul doing his ministry and he's suffering for it, is this really gospel ministry? Is this where God's power lies? You know, if someone comes to you and tells you that I'm proclaiming good news from God, but then you see them beaten for it, or ridiculed by the intelligent, mocked by the vocal, you might wonder, really, is your message good news from God? But what we hear from God today, what he's saying to us today is, what Paul's suffering shows is his ministry is going the same way as Jesus' ministry. It's the ministry that brings salvation to others, but it's through suffering. And he rejoices in that suffering as a result. So don't be skeptical if a ministry is leading to suffering. Don't be deceived to think it's not genuine gospel ministry. Paul rejoices in it. I find that really hard to do, to rejoice in suffering for the gospel. But Paul rejoices in it because it is genuine gospel ministry. Okay, so Paul is suffering so that we're not deceived. But also Paul is serving to reveal the mystery of God. Let's have a look again. Verse 25. And we see here that Paul writes, I have become its servant, the church's servant, by the commission God gave me. That's the commission we heard about in Acts chapter 9, isn't it? I've become its servant to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Ooh, okay, so we have a mystery. I've been going through Alfred Hitchcock's back catalogue recently, which has been great. But this is not, you know, it's not that way. It's not kind of, you know, Agatha Christie type mystery that is on view here, where we have clues to, you know, to look through and try and solve the case. The mystery, when you see the word mystery in the Bible, it's more like the word secret. It's more like having a secret. It's something that was hidden, but now God is revealing it. It's a secret that God's have hidden, but now it's revealed, and God's letting us in on this secret. And what is this mystery? What's this big secret that God is letting us in on? Well, verse 27 has that. Have a look. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the word of God, the full word of God, the big message that God wants to communicate is Christ in you. That's the big news Paul is presenting, Christ in you. The one who is the image of the invisible God, the one all creation was made through and for, the one who is the firstborn from among the dead, he is in you. And Christ is the hope of glory. In Christ, being in Christ, all the promises of future blessing are in him. Glory is to come to those in Christ. And so how wonderful it is to know this mystery, that the secret's out and this is it, that God's Son is in you, that he is working in you to be transformed, to be more and more like Jesus, that he's present with you no matter what you're going through, and that we have the hope of glory in him. What other fine-sounding arguments can promise you that? Can promise you more than Christ in you? You know, the way of fashion might make you look good. The corporate way might make you rich or make you feel important. But they won't lead you to Christ in you. The way of pleasure might give you a good time for a bit. The way of health might make you stronger for a time. The way of investment might make you secure for a bit. They're good things, but none of them will give you the hope of glory, an eternal, certain hope, and present strength and encouragement. My friends, don't be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. The Word of God in its fullness is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But then in verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28, Paul outlines his gospel ministry in its simplest form. He's showing us the core of gospel ministry. Again, we'll need to ask, why, God, are you telling me this? Because, you know, he is not a rule to follow or a truth about God necessarily. Why should we care about an explanation about gospel ministry? Well, because if we know what gospel ministry really is, then anything that goes contrary to that or away from that is not worth your investment. So, you know, there is a lot of investment and effort to come here every Sunday or to tune in or to small group through the week, to invest in relationships at church, to live self-sacrificially to others. And so let's make sure that the ministry you sit under or the ministry you do is in line with what Paul says here. So let's see what Paul says. Here is gospel ministry, verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Okay, let's break this down. First, we have the message. What is the content of the proclamation? Well, this is the shortest explanation of the gospel. Did you see what the gospel is in this sentence? He is the message we proclaim. And of course, the he is Christ. Christ is the gospel. Christ is the one we proclaim. And so we tell each other and others that he is Lord and that our lives are to submit to him. We tell each other that he is Savior, that he has done all that's necessary to bring us to God. We tell each other of his love, that he loves us to death. And we tell of his example so that we may be like him. Christ is the one we proclaim. And how do we do that? What's the method we use? What's the message Paul uses in ministry? Well, it's admonishing and teaching everyone. The message of Christ must be learned. And so we must teach people about Christ and his work. And this must go alongside admonishing or warning. So we must warn one another about the dangers of not following Christ, or warn one another against the things that turn us away from Christ, like self-centeredness or greed or sexual immorality or prayerlessness. Ministry involves admonishing and teaching with all wisdom. And finally, what's the goal? What's the goal of ministry? Well, we proclaim Christ so that we may present everyone fully mature in him. So with every ministry that goes on at All Saints, our goal should be to present everyone fully mature in Christ. We see more of this goal in chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. See that growing in maturity there, going onward in Christ? And so if you're a small group leader, or for the cornerstone leaders, or as you meet and pray with someone else, is your goal more than just, you know, building relationships or understanding the passage better? Or is your goal to see the other person go onward in Christ, to be encouraged, united, to know the mystery of God, namely Christ? You know, think about the next ministry thing that you'll do. Might be a chat that you'll have with someone, might be leading a small group. Is this your goal? That the other person or the group will grow in maturity in Christ. That's what Paul strenuously contends for in verse 29. Paul works really hard with the energy that God gives him. But that's what he's working for. And so, God, why are you telling me this? Well, I think God is telling you and I this, what ministry is, so that we will strive in our efforts to do gospel ministry to center on Christ, to be willing to admonish and teach one another, and to have the goal of maturity in Christ for all of us. And so, my friends, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Any ministry where the message isn't Christ, where the goal isn't maturity in Christ, that's not the genuine gospel. So even if a ministry or a preacher or a podcast you listen to, they might mention Jesus, but if they're proclaiming that the good news is, oh, your life could be better, or your prosperity could increase, well, that's not the gospel. Don't be deceived. Instead, look for ministry that centers on Christ. Call it out here at All Saints if you don't see that. Look for ministry that centers on Christ so that you won't be deceived by fine-sounding arguments, and so that all of us may grow in maturity in Christ. That's why Paul is explaining his gospel ministry here. So we'll know the difference between ministry that centers on Christ and things that might lead us away. It may come through suffering, but it's proclaiming Christ, that he is the mystery now revealed to us. And so let's teach and admonish one another, build each other up onward in Christ, so that all of us may be presented fully mature by God's grace as we're in Christ. Amen.